You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It's a good show.
Welcome to You're Making It Worse. We're here, we're queer, who cares? I'm Elliot Glazer.
I am Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott.
And this is a podcast by three gay comedians who've known each other for about 10 years, and we've always bonded over the fact that we just don't really fit in the gay community.
We're sort of like the lazy queer eye of the Fab Five.
Yeah, except I got 2020.
Textual healing.
Now, for textual healing, we are talking about the death of former First Lady of the United States, Ms. Barbara Bush,
right.
Whom I still...
Oh, this bitch gets wet whenever she says Bush. No. You know...
Wait, finish that sentence that you still...
Whom I still sort of point my finger at when it comes to the idea of George W. And Laura naming their, like... Not they wouldn't know she was hot when she was a baby, but the idea of a girl our age being named Barbara seems so mean.
Oh yeah, George W. Bush's daughter.
Yes,
named.
And she's like hot.
Seems mean.
She's like, oh my god, Barbara, poor Barbara.
I mean,
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
Barb.
You could go by Barb.
Who do you know whose name
B?
Is Barb?
You go by B.
Barb. Barbie.
Wait, so
I guess these are all.
Is she a gay? So you guys are more politically wonky, of course, than I am, but. Mm-hmm.
We both agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yes,
it's
that's true. That's very true.
What was she a friend of the people? What, you know, was she
was definitely a friend of the people.
An ally.
Yeah. I hate the word ally. I think that's a bullshit term that people use to make people either you're with us or against us, and I hate that.
Work in patriarchy.
No, I do. I hate it. And I also think it's like I said during the primaries between Bernie and Hillary when people were talking about who supported gay marriage first, it's like any American, white American or any American over the age of 60 has a complicated history with gay marriage.
Absolutely.
And gays in general.
And I feel like in particular, I feel like it's really inconsistent when we hold. First of all, she's a wife of an elected official.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was the First Lady, but she wasn't obviously in her own right elected.
She was also very outspoken.
She was outspoken,
yeah.
But she wasn't an elected official.
Yeah, true.
And I find that sometimes we did this with Hillary, we'll do this with the Reagans or whatever.
Yeah.
Outside of legitimate criticism, we'll hold them to a standard that we don't hold. For instance, people that we know and love.
Civilians.
Like, you would never say that your grandmother's a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Because she
wasn't. Say that about Ramona, but...
My grandma was Ramona. A fucking bitch.
Well, wait, you mean
you wouldn't
because
say that
she
your
wasn't...
grandma's a fucking bitch because she voted for Trump. You'd say, oh, she's an old lady.
Right.
Or let's say your grandma said something vaguely homophobic. Or
yeah.
Your parents
but I think...
in the 90s but have since evolved in their stances. You wouldn't call them an asshole to this day.
I think the difference between... Barbara Bush and, you know, a person in the public sphere and you know, our parents is that our parents aren't, for most of our parents, aren't in the public sphere.
Yes, of course.
And they don't carry influence on voting and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes,
they don't carry the influence that Barbara Bush did. I think we should probably, because I don't think a lot of people listening know the history of what, the gay history, at least of Barbara Bush.
What percentage of people listening do you think are as smart as me? What would you guess?
48%. 40? Yeah.
Excuse
I think we have
me?
A very intelligent audience.
Alan, you know, when I become senator, you're going to be destroyed. Yeah, talk about a little bit about what she was, Alan, particularly known for, some of the stances she took.
Yeah, so her biggest thing was reading and, you know, people going out and making sure that they knew how to read and stuff. That was like the big thing she did. She's always reading books to little kids.
Always reading books.
Literacy is a big deal. But she also was, at least when she died, sort of the queer angle that people started talking about was she was one of the first public officials in the Reagan administration and then eventually in her husband's administration to touch a person with HIV, to openly talk to people and go and visit and advocate for people living with HIV. And also, you know, the Bushes did attend multiple. There wasn't just one gay wedding. It was mm-hmm. it was a few. A friend of ours, even, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I remember seeing a picture.
Oh,
who?
Lyle.
Well, the Bushes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were at that wedding.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was a gay wedding?
I believe that was a gay wedding. Yeah.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it's legal now, so it's just a wedding. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they did attend those weddings, and they were...
How many gay guys do you think made, like, jokes about her pearl necklace?
I don't think
Barbara.
A lot. I think that's just catty, Elliot. I don't think a lot. No.
I think a lot.
One of the things that Barbara Bush and that what we should understand about George H.W. Bush is that he came from a Republican Party that was a little bit more progressive. He wasn't especially ran by Christian evangelicals as much as Reagan was.
H.W. Bush was infamous for being pro-choice in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Which made him incredibly controversial for the VP ticket to join Reagan on the
and Barbara Bush has a shady history on abortion. I mean, she didn't support it, then she supported it, and she sort of went back and forth over the time. Mm-hmm. But she eventually got to a place. I think in her memoir, she came out and said that, you know, she thinks it's a personal choice for the woman.
Sure.
But the gay angle to it, there was a lot of people that you have quotes from that wrote about sort of, you know, what she did. Do you want to read some of those quotes?
Sure. I mean, whoever I didn't write
this
the name.
This bitch can't read.
The person, so whoever wrote in The Atlantic, I don't write the person's name, but they said she'd suggested that he visit an AIDS clinic during the campaign in 88, George H.W., which he did. And in her first weeks as first lady, Bush visited a young man in a hospital who was dying from AIDS. And she said people thought it was an easily communicable disease, of course. And, you know, that's a pretty profound...
And that
profound,
was just coming on the heels of the Reagan administration virtually
not,
doing
not talking about
nothing
it.
And not yeah. talking about yeah. it.
Although, on the other hand, you know, Dan Avery of New Now Next and The Real World Miami says it's almost unfathomable to realize there was a time a stalwart Republican could hug people with HIV/AIDS, write a letter of support to PFLAG, and attend a same-sex wedding where her husband was the official witness. So, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, but then...
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because there's always been this... ever since the Bush administration, where obviously I think they were probably the most virulently and outspoken anti-gay administration
Reagan.
We've seen. Reagan. I was saying W. Bush, but...
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think when you run on a solid foundational platform in 04... opposing gay rights.
Yeah.
But weirdly enough, my point being, they always kind of talked out of one side of their mouth and then did something else. That's mm-hmm. not the right cliche to use. But like, almost from the moment that Bush was out of office, he basically started supporting gay marriage. There were recordings, like this weird person in like the 90s recorded W. Bush in like private phone conversations. Mm-hmm. And in these private phone conversations that were leaked by this person, W. Bush was talking about how he thinks it's really kind of inappropriate that the religious right is going against gay people, and he's like, they want me to beat up on gays, and I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Hmm. And, I mean, obviously Dick Cheney, you know, had a lesbian daughter. I'm still convinced Condoleezza Rice is a lesbian, but that's debatable. But, yeah, so I feel like for a long time, they've had this platform of being very anti-gay, which is irrefutable.
George H.W. Bush, probably one of the biggest things from his presidency, one of the most long-lasting things from his presidency that's still in effect today and that still is regularly funded and people applaud as the basis of HIV legislation, is the Ryan White Act. After Ryan White died...
Right, that was that kid, right?
He was a kid. He was a hemophiliac in Indiana who sort of really put a face on the HIV/AIDS movement. And he died, and his death sort of personified HIV and HIV/AIDS funding and the need for federal funding and the need for federal support. And it was the largest package at the time when it was signed. It was the largest package for a single disease in history, in the United States.
Didn't Elton John write a song about him?
I don't know about that.
I think
that.
He did.
I don't know about that. But George H.W. Bush signed that into legislation. And and I don't know. You know, we don't know how much Barbara's influence had on that, probably a lot. I don't
know.
She
was a bulldog. I mean, behind the scenes from
She famously said that Jeb shouldn't run for president during this last during 2016. She was like, "We've had enough Bushes."
She also said that she wouldn't she can't imagine. Didn't she say, "I can't imagine one woman who would want to vote for Trump based on the things that he said?"
Yeah. The Bushes are not fans of Donald Trump.
No. Right. And I mean, to me, you know, when I saw that again, like, I'm not as politically savvy as you guys, but when I saw that, I was like, that's pretty it's a pretty intense.
Oh, apparently George W. Bush at the inauguration leaned into Hillary Clinton
and was like,
"This what shit the is fuck was that?
Did he say this shit is crazy?
Yeah, something. Oof. I mean, it's so the Bushes, whatever. But Barbara Bush, you know, but she also was polarizing because she also, you know, was a, I mean, these were rich people. These were rich Connecticut, Texas oil people who had a way of talking sometimes that could be seen as dismissive. And she had that quote, I think, about Katrina and the Houston hospitals. There was something during Katrina where she said something about people coming in to Texas. And I mean, she was a rich white lady, and she had a lot of, you know, struggles in her life with her daughter dying of leukemia at a very young age, which is why her hair turned white. And she kept her hair white to honor her dead daughter because, you know, the shock of
and
it.
Some were saying that was the reason that she sort of embraced the
HIV
baby thing.
And just in general.
The HIV baby thing,
made her more empathetic. But then you also included this quote from Hal Rubinstein. Where is this writing from?
He's
a dump.
Is it a blog that you found?
No, this was on, I don't know, I culled a bunch of stuff together. I think he's a PR, magnate.
Where'd you pull the quote from, though?
I don't know, dude. Yeah. I pulled it from somewhere.
let's read it.
Okay.
All right, all together. Ready? Three, two, one. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Emma.
I highlighted where he says, way too many people have conveniently forgotten that her indomitable nature was also directed with startling callousness toward a community suffering through a devastating plague. Her voice was firm, chilling, and dismissive. She couldn't have cared less, nor did her husband's administration. Cradling an AIDS baby. See, he calls it an AIDS baby.
Yeah.
Cradling an AIDS baby is sweet, photogenic, and safe. Attending your gay relative's wedding is great for your family. But as someone who is HIV positive, who cradled dying friends while the Bush administration did zero to assist with funding, education, or reducing stigma, I won't miss the sight of her fake pearls for a second.
You had to throw that catty bullshit line at the end.
Hal needs to. I don't know who this. I want to know who this person is.
I'll look.
I think Hal needs to check his facts because Bush and Bush's administration is the one that was the first president to ever put funding. Reagan did put funding towards HIV/AIDS research. I will say that, but Bush was the one who put the Ryan White Act. He signed that into law and made that a foundation that still exists to this day. So I think
it's an argument that I just don't. The fact that during a time when it was controversial to even be touching or holding the hand of someone who has HIV, and the fact that she wasn't an elected official, and that you don't think it's meaningful that she was cradling an AIDS baby, to use Eliot's term.
It's the world's term.
I think it's just ridiculous. I think it's way over the top, and it's like I was saying earlier, it's an unrealistic standard that, like, what could you have done?
That to me circles back to what you were saying before, which is like, you know, the idea of shitting on Bernie or Hillary for their gay rights, you know, their gay rights voting record. And it's like, you know, it's tough to say it out loud, but it's like, listen, the times were different.
Yeah.
Context was different. She held an AIDS baby, and it's like you're saying, you can't go back and you can't recreate the context
and you
of
also
history.
You can't hold history up to modern sort of standards.
Exactly.
Like, you have to understand that, like, history needs to be viewed through the lens of the time. And at the time, it was a polarizing thing, and it was a shocking thing for someone to do. And yeah, maybe she wasn't fucking marching in a pride parade in 1990. She never did. Yeah. And, you know, Yeah, I wish she would have. Sure, that would have been great to have the First Lady march in a pride parade.
Of course.
But, like...
I don't think we can hold that against her and claim that she's a bad person as a result and that her pearls are fake.
I can hold, though. if we want to point anger at somebody, point anger at the Reagans. Those are people you can openly point anger at and be like, you fucking pieces of shit did
you are
nothing.
Monsters.
I mean, Nancy Reagan famously allowed... Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan... So Elizabeth Taylor was, like... knew them or something. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth Taylor famously did AMFAR, which is a huge HIV/AIDS organization. And she was at the forefront of sort of trying to get ACT UP and a lot of these organizations to get the president to listen to them and to have him come and speak to AMFAR. And she arranged it. She arranged this huge thing in D.C. And Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan came to AMFAR and they had agreed on sort of a speech that he was going to give and he was going to come and he was finally going to address HIV/AIDS community and really try to do something and put money towards it. And then
what
And then he came there and in the middle of his speech, he threw in something that nobody knew that they didn't at least know that he was going to do, where he was talking about, you know, that it's about lifestyle choices and all these different things. And everyone in the audience, people in the audience openly started like booing him. And it was to hear Reagan get booed is kind of a shock because Reagan was always sort of, you know, applauded.
Yeah.
And yet gay people in that audience and HIV rights activists were saying, no, fuck you. You come into our home and you say this to us. And Nancy Reagan allowed that. Nancy
Is that
Reagan,
on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I gotta find that on YouTube immediately.
And Nancy, I mean, I'm not gonna, I don't know the personal details about what happened with Rock Hudson, but apparently Rock Hudson, was trying
France?
France was the only one that had access to the early medication that treated, or that they, the experimental treatments that they had for HIV at the time. And in the U.S., it was still, trying to figure things out.
Right.
And so they were getting it from foreign markets, which is what Dallas Buyers Club, Dallas, the Matthew McConaughey movie is about, that U.S. wasn't giving it, so they were going to Mexico and stuff.
No, I think that was booty call.
And Rock Hudson famously tried to, like, get Nancy Reagan to do something to at least help him.
Right, just to help him. And
she wouldn't do shit.
She wouldn't do it. So, I believe she wouldn't, like, literally allow it to be brought into the United States, which was such a terse way of... act, you know, of reacting.
They both were. Fuck those pieces of shit. I hope they rot in hell. Excuse me.
You know what one of Reagan's first orders of business when he was elected president was?
What?
Was to remove the solar panels that Jimmy Carter had put on the White House.
Yes.
Well, it's like, you know, with the Trumps moving in, do they still have the garden? Do they still have Michelle's garden? I don't know.
Oh, I think they got
rid of
it.
I'm sure he peed all over
that. Yeah, right.
He's like... basically, he wanted to build a McDonald's tree.
But to the, I guess the last thing I'll say about Barbara Bush, I guess I was a little surprised. I can be cynical, and I think the listeners have started to understand that I am a cold-hearted monster.
Yes.
So I'm not trying to be hypocritical here, but I guess I was surprised the number of my friends who kind of wrote things on social media about how who cares that she died, and I guess I've always...
That always makes me uncomfortable.
Me too.
It bums me out. And it was nothing profoundly harsh. It wasn't like, fuck that bitch. It was just like, oh, I'm surprised
who
that
cares?
This many people care.
It's just
I don't
a
give
disrespect
a fuck.
Respect for life to me. Whenever someone, even during the election when people were talking about, joking about Trump getting assassinated, it's like, I don't like that. Please. Like, it's so, like, I don't care who this person is. Do you never wish death on somebody?
I mean, it's one thing if I'm talking about, say, beheading Allen before my Senate campaign.
Sure, of course.
That's
right.
That's fine, totally different.
Because I'll do it if you don't get in line.
I'm sorry. I have to ask before we end the segment. Do you guys remember? Because I posted it online and people just... I guess I felt my age. People didn't remember this moment when George H.W. Bush threw up in like Japan or something.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
So many people didn't know what that was. And I was like, yeah, guys, it was a big deal.
Yeah, that was a
and
big
Barbara
deal.
And Barbara Bush like put the napkin over his face like she was smothering him.
Right.
He looks like it's actually a really weird video. It almost looks like he's like goes
down.
Into like comatose or something. Like, or has like a seizure. It's a very weird. Yeah, very
when
weird
she
moment.
Came to the rescue, that's love.
Well, I think the thing about Barbara is that, you know, this idea of people being like, who cares? It's like, I mean, look, the way things are now are bananas. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you can actually have some perspective, it's like, look at, you know, this was sort of a, she was like a stalwart of an era in the past.
It's also, it's a level of inconsistency. So, like, if, you know, when the day that Barack Obama passes away, it will be a sad day for liberals. I respect that there are conservatives who did not like Barack Obama who will say shitty things. So be it. But if Michelle Obama, the day that Michelle Obama passes away, God forbid, hopefully she lives forever. it would be appalling to read someone calling her a baby killer because she was associated with her husband, who is pro-choice. Obviously, Michelle Obama is also pro-choice, but like, and it's, I have the right, I think, to be appalled by that, and I think it just makes sense to be consistent and say when the wife of a president dies, let's not berate her. That's just my, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
seems fair to me. Yes,
I'm gonna find out who Hal Rubenstein is.
All right, so. Go for it. Look it up.
Not even joking.
And now for Not Even Joking, we're talking with Moshe Kasher about the Shania Kanye social media firestorm that happened and the culture of immediate outrage.
One of the things I noticed that when Shania Twain's comment came out, she had just done RuPaul's Drag Race, and literally 2 days later, this Guardian article comes out that she says she would have supported Trump because he's smart, and or because he's not smart, he just talks like one of the normal people and says all this ridiculous shit.
Right.
And gay people blew the fuck up. It was like she was just praised by RuPaul, and then all of a sudden she did this 180. I've never seen people attack someone so fast.
Oh, really? See, I wasn't following it online. It was, did you follow this motion?
I saw the story, and it's true. I mean, nobody ever says something incredibly problematic after being celebrated by the gay community that's associated with the RuPaul Drag Race. Oh, except for RuPaul herself.
For RuPaul.
Yes, that's correct.
That's funny. Yeah, and Kanye's...
obviously, Kanye, I think, subsequent to when Ellie...
I don't even follow... I wasn't following any of the Kanye
Well, the Kanye
stuff.
Thing is fascinating. I mean, it's like... It's a real kind of polemic about, like, white people minding their business versus...
Oh.
It's just... The whole thing is really interesting because Kanye has this thing, right, where he's like... persona mental illness. Everybody's like, he's mentally ill all the time. Everybody's like, I'm no psychologist, but... And then it's clearly a...
Yeah.
And then he's also the... George Bush doesn't like black
right.
people person.
Yeah.
And so it's all these people like Monday morning quarterbacking, but instead of quarterbacking, psychoanalysis, saying he's in a manic episode. There's no other explanation. And then Chance the Rapper jumps in and is like, I don't know if you followed this.
No.
So Kanye tweets, you know, MAGA, whatever.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Like, Muslim ban now.
Yeah.
And then Chance the Rapper, everybody drags Kanye.
Yeah.
And then Chance the Rapper tweets, black people don't have to be Democrats.
Oh.
So then that becomes the argument. It's like, wait, are you telling him because he's a black man, he must, you know,
I've always
he must
found
be liberal.
That, I've always found liberals, like, yes, statistically speaking, black men and in particular black women are overwhelmingly Democratic, which is where the stereotype comes from.
They vote Democratic.
They
I mean,
vote
there's
Democratic,
a difference between
correct.
Being Democratic and voting Democratic.
That's
they
correct.
Typically do vote liberal.
And there's being John Malkovich and voting John Malkovich.
Yes.
Those are very different as well.
Speaking of John's, the one thing I did notice with this Kanye thing was that he was posting like tweets that he or texts that he had been getting from famous people like John Legend.
Uh-huh.
John Legend is a green bubble. He's an Android user.
Oh, wow.
That blew me away.
That's a curveball.
That is fucking pathetic.
Isn't it? It's surprising to
Unbelievable.
Me.
Unbelievable.
You know what, though? Every fucking week or two, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with fucking iPhone.
Oh.
I'm done.
I was like, with Kanye, John Legend.
No,
Donald
no, sir. I'm done with this phone. I'm done with needing to know the passwords.
Well, you'd have to know the
Apple.
Passwords with Android, too. The passwords are pretty much universal.
You know what? You know,
no,
how dare
not in
you?
An Android world. In an Android, you just ask the Android, tell me my password.
No, the Kanye thing did. I also was surprised by Kim Kardashian immediately being like going to the mental illness thing because there were all these articles about how he was going insane, like this is clearly part of his downfall.
And she says, how dare you?
Yeah.
Just what I'm saying, how dare you? You know, what I'm curious about, like, how dare you make my husband your analysis subject?
Yeah.
I'm just curious what Elliot thinks about
point.
This.
Yeah.
You've been quiet so far.
About Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, you know. You've been so
saying,
quiet.
Is Kim Republican?
Chime in.
No, she's not. Right. She's definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah, but her going into the mental illness category of saying that Kanye must be mentally ill. If
he must be mentally ill.
She's not saying
Trump.
That, but she's saying the media is wrong for going in that direction.
But it's not. Let me just say. It isn't. Both things are wrong.
Yeah.
And it's none of my business to tell a black man how to align himself politically. And yet I can still say that's not really what people are saying.
Yeah.
People aren't really saying step in line with the Democratic Party platform.
Mm-hmm.
What they're really saying is Donald Trump's policies are antithetical to the person that says George Bush doesn't love black people. Those are buttressing up against
each other. It's the inconsistency of that. I mean, much like the outrage about Shania Twain, which is what
I love hearing Brent say Shania Twain.
Why?
Sometimes there are words that come out of your mouth that just
sound wrong.
I love it.
It does impress
Shania Twain.
I think both of these cases, Kanye and even Shania, represent something that like a lot of people didn't really even follow, is that sort of turn of Obama, quote unquote, people to Donald Trump. I mean, there was a huge shift, not a huge, but there was a shift in people who voted at one time and supported Obama and then voted for Donald Trump.
Yes.
And these two people maybe kind of represent some of those.
And that's exactly what I've been saying recently, which is I don't get angriest at Republicans when I meet a Republican or talk to someone whose mom was a Republican, who's always voted Republican. I don't get angry when I find out they voted for Trump. I get fucking furious.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, with my Aunt Ramona, someone who is actually quite liberal has voted, would probably be considered a swing vote.
Yeah.
And a swinger. I know her well.
And a swinger. Yeah, you know Ramona well.
Ramona.
Yeah. Man, you pounding that ass.
I love the anti-butt.
But and it's because they represent the trend that helped elect Trump.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is they represent, you know, my aunt in particular is non-college educated white woman in the suburbs who is prone to conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So she is literally the perfect person.
She's the dot in the Venn diagram. My uncle is also the perfect person. He produced all of Jay-Z's early albums before he started rapping himself. And his first hit was
you
Through the Wire.
You have such a Jewish dynasty going on, don't you?
Oh, you were for real? I thought you were fucking around.
No, that's Kanye West.
Okay.
Like, the other perfect diagram is like, he's one of the most famous entertainers alive. And he does have mental illness. Are we kidding? Of course he does.
The backlash, though, does the quick backlash. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen a more polarizing candidate that where someone can say anything positive about this man.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they are just berated just online.
And Shania's like, I'm so sorry.
My whole thing is that I was like, okay, so she's made this statement. And I mean, at least like in like the gay sphere, it felt like immediately people were like, she's canceled. And I'm like, like, no, truly, like, she's canceled. Twitter went nuts. And it's like, like, you know.
And I was even one of them. I mean, I tweeted something as well about the story, the Guardian story. And I do think she used her words poorly.
That's what
Wasn't she always a Jesus freak?
I don't know about that.
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
I remember, I might be wrong, but I remember very distinctly hearing, like, in the 90s, you know, I was in middle school. You guys were out of college.
Yeah.
In the 90s, people were like, oh, she's like really religious.
I don't think so. She got a lot of shit for being sexual during her career.
There's a ton of religious people who've been like, hypocritically sexual.
Yeah, I don't think she's
a
Jesus person.
She's like Canadian and like Native American.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't believe like
they
a real
can't, she can't believe. No. She can't be a believer.
But isn't it a little bit ridiculous that... maybe I'm nuts, but isn't that a little bit ridiculous to see, like, the moment that she's like, I maybe would have voted for, you know, the way she said it was just so, it was so, like, I don't know, it felt like very on the fence to me. It didn't feel like she was being very resolute and being like, fuck everybody, Trump, Trump,
Trump.
I think
she was just trying to say, which I've said, I mean, my mom said it during the election. She was like, Donald Trump is like... who's the killer that killed all the women? Like serial killer?
Every one of them.
Ted Bundy.
Okay.
Ted Bundy. No, she was like, he's like Ted Bundy. You know what I mean? He's handsome in a way. Like he has like he has like this mannish quality to him. He's very brutish. He's kind of fun. Like he can seem fun if you get away everything he's saying. The way he's saying it is casual and
Ted Bundy
fun.
Ted seems
and
fun.
He can woo you in, which is what Ted Bundy did. He wooed these women in and then all of a sudden he murdered them. And that's what my mom says about Donald Trump. He's like Ted Bundy. He woos the audience in and then he takes away your
rights. Do you think that there's an overreaction?
Yeah, I think it's an insane reaction to say. It's for Shania, it's like, why is this? No human can say, I think there's some positive. Like,
exactly.
Like, why Shania? The Kanye thing makes much more sense to
me. Absolutely,
me too. Because it's like you're betraying us, not
what you've said.
The fact, the fact that you were on Drag Race doesn't make you like a friend of the gay community since like 81. You know,
but that, but that is what I feel like I see the narrative become. That at least in like again the gay channels on like Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it's like she was on Drag Race last week, so fuck her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know. She's not.
She's kind of also saying something that represents the reason why people kind of switched to vote for Trump, and that we probably should have been listening to during the entire election.
Right. Well, although the thing that annoys me the most is the person that's like, this is why Trump won. Like any time you say any like slightly like obnoxious,
this is why.
It's like a little cartoon finger. Like, this is why. No, you don't know why Trump won. You don't. That's not why.
Yeah.
Wait, can I challenge you guys to something? To say one nice thing about Donald Trump.
Oh, easy.
No, I
can actually.
At least
what?
He gave $20 to my a cappella group in college.
Very cool.
Oh, all right.
$20?
Yeah, he walked by us. We were performing in like Central Park. We were like, oh, wow, Donald Trump. And he walked by, and then one of his cronies came back and threw $20 into our like tip hat or whatever the fuck we put out.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, bitch, you have your shirt off? Was you singing with your shirt off? I actually do think he delivers a line really well. I think he's when he's not being a monster, I think he's relatively funny.
The funniest president of all time that I can remember.
I don't know. Lincoln was pretty funny.
Well, the way, his final act was pretty funny.
I don't know. If I had to say, Trump, when I remember, I used to work years ago at AIDS Walk New York, and he would, or I guess someone in his company would allow like us to do things at Trump Tower because it's right by Central Park there, and he came down once and sort of met all of us, and I thought that was really nice for someone, you know, at 7 a.m. in the morning to meet a bunch of volunteers.
Of course it is nice for that. I think the problem with Trump is that you learn that all of that is meaningless when you become the most powerful person in the world, and you just consistently, much like we're talking about Kanye betraying 100%. Trump. I mean, yes, of course, he ran as a Republican, but literally on paper, if you listen to his Stern interviews in the fucking 90s, he was like a liberal.
Like just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, as of 06, he was still
He got radicalized, I mean, or something. It's unclear.
Which also represents a lot of this country, honestly. Like, there's a reason why people switch from Obama to Trump, but Trump is kind of one of them.
But see, to me, I'm like, isn't it creepy that it's like, I don't know if he was radicalized. I think he just like follows the path wherever he can be the most popular.
That's part of that.
Which is even creepier.
That's creepy, but I also think that's a story we tell ourselves trying to ignore the pattern of the clear pattern, which is like, there he was saying Obama was not born in this country. Yeah. That's not like going where the intellectual cream is.
Yeah,
like, nobody wanted that. Nobody was
View.
Interested in that.
Literally, him on The View and Whoopi Goldberg like being like, "Go fuck yourself," and like walking off set or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, but who would have? Who would have looked at that and been like, "Yeah, that's the president of the United States."
It kind of pisses me off. I think the media does this a lot, where they say the moment that Trump decided to run for president was at the correspondence dinner with Trump.
Right.
It's
my God,
it's all bullshit.
It's
no
bullshit.
One knows.
No
bullshit.
One would. Yeah.
This is why Trump ran.
You don't know. It's not at all.
It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he wants to be the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah.
He, to me, I get the same thing where it's like when people would be like, Paris Hilton is secretly a brilliant businesswoman.
Oh.
I think to me, that's people being like, he's secretly brilliant. And I'm like, no, he's not.
He's not.
He's not fucking Machiavellian.
If Reagan...
I think he's smart. He's not
secretly brilliant. He's openly brilliant, and in that he is a ball of charisma.
Yeah.
That is all he is.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Thank you so much
I'm
for being
sorry.
Here.
I want to stay.
No, of course.
We can't keep talking about Trump.
I want to come back.
You will.
All right.
Yes, please come
back.
Just
like Whoopi says on The View.
All right. I love you, but this is fucking bullshit, and I can't stand listening to this partisan crap. I mean, it's like gay people don't have to be Democrats.
And another thing.
Let's talk about the beach.
Now, you like the beach, right?
I do like the beach.
I hate the beach.
Same.
Well, obviously, for obvious reasons, I don't take my shirt off in public. I will say this. I like the feeling of sand on my feet.
Okay.
I would say that's my favorite part of the beach. I find the ocean terrifying. The ocean is terrifying.
Why?
Because you can die in it so easily.
You can die on the way to the ocean.
Yeah, but I like my car. I don't have to be in like filthy ocean water. It's
when's the
so
last time
salty.
You went swimming in the water in the ocean?
It would be middle school.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in Michigan, middle did you have a lake access to lakes?
There is a ton of lakes in Michigan.
Which
they
are
less
scary.
Terrifying,
right?
Because there's like no current,
right?
Or,
right.
You know, riptide, as they call it. I don't do a lot of boating or anything like that.
And Alan, you grew up in Missouri, so you were landlocked, right?
Well, there's the Lake of the Ozarks, mm-hmm. which is where a lot of we went. And Branson is around there.
Do you go and like lay out by the lake? Is that what you actually do?
Lay out?
I don't know.
Is this 1988?
Yeah. Ellie's got that white stuff on his neck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have never laid out once in my life. I don't even
but,
know.
But like, does the family take a trip to the
would
lake?
Do that? Yeah, we do. We would take the lake. My family was an indoor family. We really like AC. Yeah. So
does your mom AC the garage?
Oh yeah, of course.
God bless her.
Yeah,
insane. God love her.
Everything is AC'd in our house. In fact, when we were moving into the house, like it was one of the most important things to have like an industrial AC. Like
I
we
love
had
her
to,
so.
We
much.
Had to have it. So we're not outdoors people, but I do remember I would go to the lake with like friends and stuff a lot. And my dad, I remember he pushed me into the lake to teach me to swim one year.
That's not how
it works. How you do good.
It?
I do remember.
This
a fun,
is your dad who you hate.
But yeah, of course I hate. Him. I also hated my grandparents that were there too. Fuck all of them. But I hate the beach. I always say about the beach that like, you know, I like the beach. I like the view of the beach. I like it's nice and everything. But 5 minutes after me being on the beach, I'm looking for like a Starbucks for a Wi-Fi signal. Like
yep.
I need something. I need AC. I love
say
a beach
this.
From inside.
The beaches in LA are super hot. The guys
super hot,
yeah,
like sexy. Like,
yeah, the guys on the beach in LA. Even if you go on like an off day on like a Tuesday or something,
yeah.
You're like, man, this
what
this
do you mean? Where are you going on a Tuesday? What beach are you going to on a Tuesday?
I've gone to the Santa Monica Pier a couple times on some off days.
Santa Monica Pier? That's
sometimes,
where, like, families
I'll
go.
I'll take a Xanax, yeah.
So what? You're looking at the dads?
Hold on,
you
I'm
know,
dying.
Just walking on the beach.
You,
alone? I've gone, like, once or twice since I moved.
Was this, like, your suicide moment?
See, I love...
I was going to kill myself.
I don't necessarily...
I would do it in front of you, Alan. Just
I'm used to the beach because I grew up on Long Island where we're surrounded by water and
we'll put water
bagels.
In quotes.
Yeah, water.
Feces-ridden water.
Exactly. Water's
I got swimmer's ear from Jones Beach.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah. It's all kind of a dump, but, like...
Yeah.
You know, you go to the South Shore to go to the ocean, to go to Robert Moses or Jones Beach.
Yeah.
You go to the North Shore to go to, like, these smaller beaches, these private beaches or whatever. And it's a dump.
Whenever I hear private beach, I only think of nude beaches.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, so that's another part of the beach. Like, on Fire Island, it is a nude beach.
Yeah.
And there is also, I was talking to my friend who grew up in the same town as me, like, if you went to Robert Moses Beach, if you went to Field 5, because mm-hmm. there's all these fields.
Yeah.
If you go to Field 5 and then you walk, like, past where cars are allowed, it becomes a nude beach. But... You know, as a kid, my aunt, who was like the most like progressive, radical kind of figure in my life, we went to the beach and she was like, "We're walking." She walked me to the nude beach and was like, "This is how it's supposed to be. We don't say private parts. That's not the right words." And
yeah,
and
it was just how it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
so
and it was
funny.
Just like an intro to like. But of course, those nude beaches are literally like huge bushes and like, you know, giant
old dudes.
Old
Have
guys.
You been to a nude beach?
Yeah.
Outside of that moment in your life, like, do you actively go and get naked at a beach?
No, I mean, there's Jacob Riis Beach, which is in New York.
Yeah.
That a lot of that's considered like a gay nude beach.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like kind of a weird place to get to, and like it's weird.
Yeah,
but like the
there's one in New Jersey too.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
No, for me, like a nude beach is. I went once alone to a nude beach.
Alone.
Yeah, I went alone to the one near Field 5.
Yeah,
and it was really weird, and I got like hit on.
Oh, yeah?
Very graphically.
By someone hiding behind a shrub or something?
Tell us.
I don't. It was just two guys who were like, "Are you leaving?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they made a very graphic comment about how I should stay and why I should stay.
What did they say?
It was just about my penis.
Yeah. All right. That sums
That's
it up.
Great.
Yeah.
But I love the beach here. I think it's like, I mean, I think like the PCA.
What
like
do you do at the beach?
Well, I love going to the
how
dog
often
beach.
Do you go to the beach?
I mean, in the summer, I try to go, like, every weekend or every other weekend.
Oh, my God.
So gross.
But it's beautiful here. Like, you go to, like, Huntington Beach.
It's beautiful everywhere. It's a beach. It's annoying.
No, it's not beautiful everywhere. Long Island is, like, a cesspool of
That's
diapers.
You're from yeah. there. So many people are like visit and they're like, beautiful beaches.
Not in Long. I mean,
also, isn't the Atlantic water warm and the Pacific water is cold?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's still always cold.
It's still always
Everything's
cold.
Everything's cold. Whenever they're like warm and cold, it's like 60s and 75.
I don't get
something.
In the water. I take that back. I do a boomerang and then I get out of the water.
Is cold.
I will say that I would like to see. I know Brent will never go to the beach. I would like to see Alan go to the beach because you've always talked about wanting to wear one of those.
Oh no, I do it.
Diane Keaton bathing suits.
It's happening, actually. It's happening. Wait, no, it's not a Diane Keaton bathing suit. It's a 1920s Keaton. Bathing suit.
It's like a full body.
Yeah, it's happening. So Michael,
it's happening.
Michael is making me
like the apocalypse.
Yeah, my Michael's making me a 1920s style swimming suit that's fully covered. And it's made out of swimming suit material, so it'll be like a modernized version of a 1920s.
Much more than the beach, I would like to see you go into the pool at the LA Fitness.
Yeah, I will.
This is like a singlet.
Singlet, I think, is too revealing. Like,
right.
I want full coverage. Like, I'll wear shorts. Like, it'll be like at my knee level, of course.
Sure, sure.
But I want it to be like a t-shirt top. You know what I mean? That like covers most
really
of my
long.
Arm, and it like comes up to my neck, so there's no real exposure of any skin whatsoever, uh-huh. except for maybe my yeah. arms and my legs.
Sort of like a religious garment.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a burkini for men.
Sure. You know what the biggest disappointment at the beaches as a gay guy, especially as a gay youth, was growing up, you know, in a time where like it was not cool to like show off. It's not like showing off your legs. It's just not like we grew up in a time of like an era of baggy jeans, baggy yeah, yeah. clothes. Yeah. Like yeah. there was no legs. You didn't see legs.
Yeah.
And I feel like recently with the brand Chubbies, those they're like mail away shorts that I used to wear.
That was like they gave you a boner or something. Like uh-huh. that's when I hear Chubbies and I think boner.
No, they're just like they're like shorts that I started wearing years ago that are like you know shorter, not uh-huh. crazy short, but like shorter.
Yeah.
And they've become sort of this like frat brand or whatever.
Yeah.
This bitch likes showing off her nuts.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the biggest disappointment was always going to the beach, especially on Long Island in New York, and seeing guys in board shorts where it was like shorts down to their fucking ankles.
Oh, I hated that.
Oh,
shit.
Why?
Because it's shapeless and you want
to
like.
It's disappointing because you wanted to get a semi. Yeah,
see a little something.
Oh, but because you wanted to see something.
Yeah, me.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
It is hard to fathom. We've been in sort of form fitting clothing for a solid decade.
I hate it.
I know you do. I don't. But it's hard to fathom. A time when it's not in anymore. And there
Isn't
will
it
inevitably
crazy?
Be a time where it isn't.
Yeah.
Because there was a
well,
time when you would look at baggy jeans and say, how could this not
excuse
be perfect?
Me.
That will be my nirvana.
Excuse me. I will not accept the long tee into my life.
Unacceptable.
What is
I
that?
Won't do
I
a
love
drop
a long tee.
What is that?
Pant?
What is a drop? What?
It's garbage clothing.
Okay, you guys sound like you're 80 years old.
But it's true.
It's true.
You go to like Top Man or something, and whatever, Urban Outfitters, they sell these t-shirts that are down to your fucking knees.
I love it. I mean, I'll say I love, if I could get away from wearing form-fitting clothes all the time, I would. I love a baggy shirt, even a long shirt. I love it.
Have you ever worn a dress
all the time, I would.
A poncho? Would you ever wear ponchos?
I would if I could get away with it socially, I would.
I will say there was a time when in New York I was in a relationship and my boyfriend's friends were very fashionable and fashion-forward. I was not, and I was also not looking... not looking great
mm-hmm.
body wise at that point, and so
not feeling great.
Anyway, so I made it my journey to dress in I did the summer of what was it called? Do you remember that?
No,
light and loose. It was my summer of light and loose.
Oh,
and I was
you
wearing,
gave it a phrase.
Yeah, light and loose. And I wore like all like linen clothing.
He really does want to wear smocks all day long.
I would.
Not anymore. Not anymore. But
flowing
back then,
silks.
that's
what I do. Michael's making me like bodysuits that I can just wear all the time.
when you say Michael and you don't say my boyfriend, it sounds like you have a personal stylist.
He is my personal stylist as well. Yeah, he's a designer. But he's making me like onesies, basically. And I'm real excited
about
it.
I saw you wear one and I loved it.
I love it. I bought that one, but it's like a workers' man like jumpsuit.
When I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary in concerts in high school.
Again, 80 years old.
Yeah. And Mary came out. Mary is obviously God's gift to the world.
And deceased.
She's passed. when she came out, She was pretty large before her death. When I was in high school, and she came out in like literally, it was like she was wearing like a silk tarp around her.
Dream.
And it, I just and oh, she like man. She does this. She twirls her hands during concerts as if she's like conducting an orchestra. And I was like, that is God.
Who
right
did you
there.
See? Who would you see Peter Paul and Mary with when you were in high school?
I was joined by my friends Betsy and Angie.
And were they in it for the music or in
well,
it?
They
for
were
Brent?
Not in it for the music. It was like
because you were in it for the music.
Oh, I loved Peter PP&M.
How many times?
I think they had fun. We went to the Detroit Opera House. It was a fun night.
This is the podcast. We've mentioned Peter, Paul, and Mary maybe like more times than the patriarchy.
I was going to say.
Yes. Oh, it's my favorite. Yes. My favorite.
It is our go-to.
I still have it's a voicemail. Is it a voicemail from years ago or an outgoing message of you singing Peter, Paul, and Mary in the shower and Megan, maybe your roommate, taped it or something?
Yeah.
It was so good. You know Brent's Peter, you know his Mary Travers voice?
Yes. Yeah, it's a very brassy.
We're going to need a little bit of it now.
I mean, you can't say it and then not have it.
And Puff, the magic dragon.
What would your aunt say? Brent, what would your aunt Ramona say? I know we spoke about her earlier. What would your aunt Ramona say about something on this podcast?
Ramona would pull Alan aside and say, Alan, I have a poncho you could borrow. It says Trump on the back, but it's yours.
I'd wear it.
Yeah.
I'd totally
I know my
wear
Aunt
it.
Joanne would definitely say, do I know Hal Rubinstein from Temple?
I found out who he was, by the way. He's a writer for the New York Times.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a curveball.
So sorry about that, Hal, not knowing who you are. I disagree, though, with you. My Aunt Anne would probably say, hey, Jalen, remember when you dressed up as Shania Twain for that drag show in high school? That was really great of you.
Did that happen?
It did.
Mm.
Yep. I dressed up as the man I feel like a woman version of Shania.
Do you have
in
pictures
high school,
of this
for, yeah,
available?
For like a drag show.
Do you have pictures?
Wow. I don't know.
Wait,
I'd
there
have
was
to look.
A drag show at your high school?
What is? What are you talking about?
It was a drag show at a high school across the way from me, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm stunned.
It was like a university slash high school thing. Yeah.
Stunned.
And I won.
What?
And anyone who was dressed up got like called on stage or whatever. Yeah. And I was up against like serious drag queens and I looked really bad because I was obese and just bad.
Sure.
But I won because I was funny.
That's great.
Dude, you have to ask your mom for pictures.
I'll look.
I'm
sure there's a picture somewhere of it. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk about it next time on You're Making It Worse, for which I say goodbye. I'm Elliot Glazer.
I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott.
Goodbye.
It's a good show.